Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Israelis are waiting for Hamas to release all hostages still in captivity as per the terms of the ceasefire agreement. Efrat Machikawa, the niece of a hostage already free, told a rally in Tel Aviv that she wants to thank President Trump and the U.S. for helping the agreement come together.
You have shown our nation and the world what real commitment looks like.
Today, the United Nations is bringing more humanitarian aid into Gaza, where millions of people have returned. A White House budget office filing Friday revealed that more than 4,000 federal employees revealed layoff notices as the government shutdown continues. Two sources familiar tell ABC that affected employees include top CDC employees who are responsible for responding to infectious disease outbreaks. And a spokesman for former President Biden says he's now undergoing radiation therapy and hormone treatment for prostate cancer. This is ABC News. At least 18 people are dead or unaccounted for after an explosion rocked an explosives manufacturing plant Friday about 50 miles west of Nashville, Tennessee.
The blast captured on doorbell video, shaking homes miles away. Emergency crews initially forced to stay back because of multiple secondary explosions. An emotional Sheriff Davis asking for prayers for the families affected.
I ask you to keep in mind those families.
The company has suspended all operations and the search and investigation continues. Dave Packer, ABC News, New York.
There's a bittersweet ribbon-cutting ceremony in Uvalde, Texas, Friday at Legacy Elementary School. It's a new school built to replace Robb Elementary, site of a school shooting in 2022 that killed 19 students and two teachers. Their legacies will be honored at the new school. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian,
Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children.
Right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like six tacos, nachos, Bel Grande. And I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Restoration projects in Iron County, Wisconsin have led to a 94% increase in juvenile brook trout and improved overall habitat health. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
As dwindling brook trout populations are a concern across Wisconsin, conservation efforts in Iron County are increasing viable habitats for the native species. Fish population spikes are being observed at Kari Creek and the Tyler Forks River after major culvert replacement and restoration projects. A fisheries biologist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Zach Lawson, says post-project monitoring shows a 94% increase in juvenile trout at Kari Creek.
We see a more even distribution of different size and age classes throughout the stream along the entire reach of Kari Creek, which is fantastic, just what we want to see.
Lawson says brook trout are important as a good indicator of high-quality water resources. Despite the fluctuating weather conditions of climate change, Iron County is predicted to be one area in Wisconsin where brook trout will still be able to thrive. Lawson says that's why projects like these are so crucial. Kari Creek, which serves as a nursery habitat for brook trout, had been diverted from its natural channel into a roadside ditch, causing erosion and flooding flooding issues. Improving it meant replacing 9 culverts and an 800-foot stream restoration that cost more than $400,000 to complete. Heather Palmquist with the Iron County Land and Water Conservation Department says most of the funds came through the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Trout Stamp Fund. She says rural underserved areas like Iron County, with a population of just 6,500, could not undertake these kinds of projects. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs around 67. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 50. Slight chance of a shower, but windy on Sunday. We'll have cloudy skies and a high near 69. Sunday night, showers and breezy, a low of 50. Low 60s on Monday.
It's 51 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm back with one of the most reasonable guys in politics, Tom Pulsiewicz. We dig into what the Pope has recently had to say about Donald Trump's anti-immigrant policies. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. And as always, next to me, running and gunning, river riding and sliding this weekend on her new boat, co-host of the show, Danielle Fairman. And oh my goodness, I'm so hungry, and it's a good thing we got Chef Ellie Lawton, the certified chefferie of Raised in Wisco, along with us today, because not all, this is going to be a lot like when you go to the grocery store and you're hungry. We're going to talk about food today on the show. We're going to talk a lot about Wisconsin foods, wild games, what to pair with them, which brings me into our guest, Megan Salad Bar Salazar, joining us today.
Oh, I like the Salad resident Bar. Guest.
What's that?
I'm the resident guest.
You're the resident guest?
Yeah.
Do you live here now?
Practically.
You practically live. You are the resident. And you brought along Dave Sella, expert sportsman, game camera aficionado.
That's a new title.
That is a new title.
Nice.
Well,
nice.
I do notice that if Dave is around, he's not flipping through TikTok or Instagram.
Nope.
He's on the game cams, especially during deer season.
That is true. Very true.
Well, I'm excited about today's show because we're going to talk a lot today about eating wild game. Because Megan Salazar is a sommelier. Danielle and I are definitely eaters.
Yes, this is very true.
And Chef Lawton and Megan, as our guest today, is going to be talking about what to pair with wild game. And there is no better time to talk about that than now, because in Wisconsin, for me personally, it does not get better than this time of year.
Agreed.
Everything's open. Duck season opener was a week ago today. The goose is open. Deer is open. Mourning dove is still open.
Squirrel.
Turkey's open. Squirrel's open. I love squirrel. It's a little nutty.
Oh boy. He's still going with that one.
Jacob. We got Noah Morris from Morris Original in the fishbowl with us today. And of course, manning the board, as always, is the master of disaster, Jacob. How's it going, Jacob? How you been?
There's no disaster yet, so I'm doing really good.
Yes.
I feel good about
this. I figured if I said the master of disaster, we'd actually have a chance of getting through with no disasters. Because it seems like if you prep for something, that's when it doesn't. No, I think when you prep for it, it doesn't happen. And if you don't prep for it is when it happens.
Yeah. It's like Murphy's Law.
It is Murphy's Law.
Yeah,
that's
that
why
thing.
if you take a, you know, a butchering knife or a fillet knife along with you on a hunt, then you don't harvest anything if you leave the knife at home.
That happened. Yeah.
Yeah, that happens.
That does happen.
That happens quite a bit, as a matter of fact. All right. Hey, let's do weekly Wiscos, because last Saturday was the opener of the duck season opener, and we finally
have some cooler weather.
Yeah, it has been beautiful.
It's beautiful. It has been unbelievably hot and sticky and humid, which is not conducive to movement of animals.
Happiness.
And finally, halfway through the week,
it makes me happy.
Yeah,
I'm so tired of being warm.
Yeah, see, I like it a little bit.
It's hard to hunt
cooler.
Though in this weather.
It is hard to hunt in this weather because nothing's moving. Megan Salazar, let's start with our guest, the sommelier. The you know what? You're the sommelier pirate.
She's a sommelier.
Jacob now.
I think that's is Jacob the one who brought that up the first time? Jacob, is it okay if
it's my most famous bit on the whole show was when I said sommelier pirate.
He worked so for weeks on that one.
Yeah.
No one put it up on the teleprompter for me and everything, and he queued me up and I got it.
I'm going to give credit where credit's due, Jacob. But I really do think that that is such a good nomaker for her that we're going to call Megan Salazar the sommelier pirate.
Arr. Wait, so does that mean we're not using salad bar anymore?
Megan, the salad bar. Salazar, the sommelier pirate.
Why am I such a tyrant in all of
way
these?
Too long.
All right, who's the phone is vibrating so loud I can hear it through my headphones? We are never unconnected. That's how this world works. All right, let's do weekly Wiscos. Megan, what do you got?
Well, I guess it's going to be like everyone else's. Southern duck opener, which I've never done before. As much as I've waterfowl hunted, I've never hunted opener.
Nice.
So okay. I did.
How did it go?
We got our limit of wood ducks on Sunday.
How did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know why I can wake up at 3 a.m. every single day when it's not work, and then come Monday when it is work, I sleep until 8:30. Uh-huh.
Do you notice that is absolutely the truth? When the alarm goes off to go hunting or fishing in the morning, it's like nothing. But when you wake up to go to work. It's
or the gym enough. Or anything
or
else.
The gym. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Danielle, what do you got?
Oh, guess what? Guess it.
The
play the guessing
opener.
Game. Yes.
The Southern Duck Opener of Wisconsin. That's yep. I don't know how you can complain about that one. That's pretty fantastic as well. I'm doing something different. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna give a little shout out to Luke, who runs the new Meat Eater store in the Five Points. I'm going to use that as my weekly Wisco. I stopped in the Meat Eater store, very friendly folks there, mm-hmm. and they've got some wild game recipes there. As well, and some of the cookbooks. And that was interesting. I think anytime you can expand the base of people who enjoy eating wild game and enjoy eating wild foods, that's exciting. And it's neat to see that, especially, and I'm not going to, you know, Brookfield, Wisconsin is an area that's, you know, it's not a very huntable municipality.
Agreed.
There's not a lot of land that's available, and the ordinances there are pretty tight. And to see a store open that encourages hunting, harvesting, and using of the game and eating of it, I think that's exciting.
And the
that
opening.
Tells me that we as hunters are doing a good job making folks understand that we are serious about the resource and like to use it to the best of its potential. So I was happy to see a store about hunting and eating food open in the Milwaukee area. I thought that was great.
For their opener for the Meat Eater store, that was 2 weeks ago, I believe.
Yeah.
Sure.
There was lines both directions down the street waiting for that store to open.
That's
so
great.
There was a huge
showing. We should open a Raised in Wisco store.
Oh, that is no.
Why not?
Yeah,
why
not? Online,
are you,
yes.
Joel, are you going to work it?
The
rest of us have stuff to do.
Would it take away from hunting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then no.
I'm not
gonna unless it's
going to
be a traveling store. You
it
just have a trailer open wherever
up
you're sitting.
The trailer wherever we're hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you give away our spot.
Yeah.
That's okay.
We could just go to like farmers markets or something.
We could. We could do that. Or
you know what?
Make it an online
you guys
store.
Don't do that. And
how about
enjoy.
An online store?
Or we could just have everybody listen to the show. That could be our version.
I like that one. Let's go with that one.
Chef Lawton, what was your weekly Wisco?
Duck opener. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's. I do have to admit, I mean, this past week, I think it was Tuesday, was the most beautiful day. It was cool in the morning, and then when it heats up with a little breeze to about 65 to 70, and then it cools off again at night. Mm-hmm. That is my favorite time of year.
Yeah,
and then
it's
fall
perfect.
Is in the air, and that's also the most exciting time.
Agreed.
The air just smells different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure does. Sella, what do you got? Do you have
I do, actually. It's not. It's a weekly lesson learned.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh,
excited about
like
this
Danielle.
One.
Danielle's usually the one with the downer weekly whisk.
It's not a downer.
Yeah, this is a teachable moment.
It's a very teachable moment.
Coachable moment.
We're, like, for 28 years, we're trying to figure out if you could walk from the blind back to the cabin. It's about a quarter mile walk.
Okay, excuse me. How could it take 28 years to find out if you could walk a quarter mile?
Because
ambition.
Because you weren't forced to figure it out.
Okay.
We usually had a full tank
of
gas. Oh, Megan needs to explain that this quarter mile is across water, not just like land. So that's why we haven't tried it yet.
Dave, give us all the deets.
So we get like, we hunt the one spot in the morning to see if we can get wood ducks. We flew to our blind. And we get to the blind and we put our decoys out and we hunt and we ended up shooting some ducks. And on the way back, I said to my buddy, I was like, hey, I'm just going to like walk around. Just we'll pick up the decoys that way and then we'll jump in the boat and go that quarter mile. The motor did not start.
Well, you know what boat stands for, right?
It wasn't
bust
that.
Out another thousand.
Bring on, right? Bring me another thousand. Yes.
Well, it literally, like, I ran out of gas, and we're like, okay, we just have to make it like quarter mile.
You ran out of gas on the duck season opener, Dave?
Yeah, I have a jet drive motor.
Okay.
It literally will suck gas down like no other.
Oh, okay, but tell us how
you
got
know
back.
That, why didn't
I start walking? Start walking, and it probably got
walking
about,
on water.
No, I was walking in the water in the muck, and I was like, okay, it's not that bad. You're going. And next thing you know, it's just getting a little deeper. So I just hang under the boat a little bit.
Murphy's Law, yes.
And next thing you know, my feet are just touching the muck a little bit, and then it's not touching anything anymore.
Wow.
So for about like 15, 20 yards, my buddy had to push us. And all I was doing is running under the water.
Well, yeah, I would consider that a spiritual moment. You had a Jesus moment. You were walking on water for a little while.
Walking in water.
But your feet weren't touching the bottom, were they?
No. So I guess
you were basically walking in Memphis.
So
what?
With his feet 10 feet off the beam.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
10 feet off the bottom. That 10 is
feet
a
off
sign.
The muck.
So
that's awesome.
Like I said, it only took us 28 years to realize that, yes, you can walk from the blind back to the cabin.
So why ever fuel up the boat again? Just get your exercise in.
Because I'm 5'4" and I wouldn't make it.
Well, listen, though. I mean, if you are, like, not even prepared enough to put enough gas in your boat for opening weekend, you should be able to know how to get back, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, we made it back.
You made it back. That's all that matters.
We actually figured something out.
All right. Well, anybody shoot any cool ducks? Danielle, you were on the maiden duck voyage of your new boat.
Oh, I was. I would just say the first bird in the boat was a green-winged teal.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
That's kind of a rare first thing to get in your boat in Wisconsin.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, we get a lot of blue-winged teal in Wisconsin, but green-wings, they are fairly rare. Did you eat it yet?
Now I have to. Yes, we did. I gave one breast to Bandit, of course. And then the other one, we shot four birds.
I don't know that I'd be giving my teal breast
to
my dog.
Every time Bandit retrieves a bird, he gets some of the meat.
Oh, that's not a horrible idea, really.
Yeah, every time. If he's not there, then he gets...
Fancy's actually
he has to put
kind
in the work.
Of picky. Fancy will only eat the tenderloin of a goose. Fancy won't actually eat the goose breast.
Her name is Fancy.
But she'll take a whole plate of food off the counter.
She certainly will. She'll get into whatever she can. She'll come down and eat the knuckles off of the bearskin rug. But she's picky about her goose meat. So I can't explain that exactly. But I'm excited because today our show is going to focus a lot on wild game. What are some of our favorite recipes? And with sommelier Megan, the sommelier pirate on the show tonight with us, we're going to talk about
new
pairings. alcoholic pairings and even some non-alcoholic pairings, which I'm fairly excited about as the show goes on. Is there anything, I'm going to do a flash round here real quick. Flash round, favorite way to eat duck. Dave Sella, go.
Got to wrap bacon around it.
Megan.
Duck l'orange.
Danielle.
Fajitas.
Ellie.
Pan-seared brown butter.
Shredded for me. Ho ho, this is Raised in Wisco. We're talking food coming up.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving, and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. A shared message from the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
In the misty moonlight, by the flickering firelight, any place is all right, as long as I'm with you.
Oh, man, raised in Wisco, speaking of misty moonlight, the moon lately has been absolutely so beautiful.
It has been.
It's been different colors. It's been... I'm telling you what, if you live in the state of Wisconsin and you sleep in the morning, get ass out of bed and get into the outdoors, because the sunrises in the autumn in Wisconsin are absolutely beautiful. And if you don't see it, we'll tell you about them here on Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish. I spend a great deal of my time in the outdoors, and I love every second of it, and I sure love eating. Danielle Fairman and I have been together for nearly two decades working, doing media for the outdoors, and using Wisconsin's outdoors to the best of our abilities and helping to protect it and conserve. Chef Ellie Lawton, who's with us every week, brings us fantastic recipes field to table. She's an award-winning chef who we are very fortunate to have along with us, because I learn a lot, and it's a great way. So many people cook wild game and fish that they catch the same way over and over and over. And one of the greatest things about
until you came along.
One of the greatest things about this show is being able to find new recipes, do new things with wild game and fish. And we have incorporated into the show sommelier, Megan Salazar, the Somalian pirate.
Dave just covered up his one eye. That's his iPad. Megan,
yes, and Dave Sella, the master of deer hunting, is along with us too. And it's not coincidental. Dave and Megan are lovers.
That's adorable. It's a good thing with this light, you can't see you guys blush.
Dave
and Megan.
Just kidding, you can't see your blush.
Love.
It's so cute.
Oh, I thought we were talking about food.
Wait, let's get back to it. Do you think that they're here? Only in love because they both can get the best of the outdoors from each other?
Oh, it's a relationship.
Dave's got a boat. Megan's got some great dogs. He does have a great dog too, Lynx.
She's a great cook.
Shout out to Lynx.
Dave has got hunting land.
And he can
see how this
Dave can eat.
Great eater,
He's a great eater.
Oh, that is awesome.
As a foodie or a chef, no, tell me the truth. There's nothing better than watching people eat your food.
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's the best.
It's honestly the best thing.
That's the best thing I can ever see is people get excited about my food.
Yeah.
I have been told by my children and others that I get so excited about when people eat my food that I actually bite it.
I've seen you do that.
You do not.
I
really?
Phantom bite it. I am phantom
biting. Super embarrassing for you.
Well, thanks a lot. Is that bad? Is that obvious?
I'm very self-conscious about my cooking, actually.
Are you?
Oh, yeah, Megan, you're a great cook.
Traumatized when I was
everybody
younger.
Everybody is. I think everybody who loves to cook and everyone who's a chef is self-conscious about
their
food.
And I'm so critical of course, of myself about it, too.
Because when you cook a meal for somebody, all the pressure is on you. I mean, there's no one else to blame. I can't be like, well, Betty Crocker messed this one up for me.
Right.
That's not the way it goes. So there's more pressure. But as a chef, you grow a very thick skin and you have to have a good balance of you're confident in your food, but you're also open to suggestions and feedback, whether it's good or bad. So yeah. That's how I see it.
That definitely makes sense. And, you know, if you're new to the show, welcome, first of all. And we're very excited because Raised in Wisco is now on 25 civic media stations throughout Wisconsin and in Michigan and Minnesota. And we air at Saturdays at 11 a.m. on your civic media stations. And if you don't catch us live on Saturdays, Danielle Fairman, where can they listen to the show?
You can listen to us on Spotify and Apple. The best thing is you can take us anywhere if you ask your Alexa or Siri to play Raised in Wisco. You can see us on YouTube with our beautiful Halloween background right now.
Oh, yes. Spooky
yes,
in here.
It is.
And then Facebook, where our lovely Salazar pirate.
The Salazar pirate.
The Salazar
Somalia,
the pirate.
The Philip... She's a Somalian.
Oh, Megan.
And listen.
We'll come up with it.
We're
posting. We'll find something.
Our Facebook is active. Get on Facebook. Look up Raised in Wisco. Follow us. You're going to see recipes. You're going to see literally, if you wonder if we're the real deal or not, you're going to see what we do in the outdoors. We post pictures of our hunts, of our food, and we live what we talk about in the show, which I think is pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. We love having you along. And the most exciting thing to me is the audience is definitely growing because I'm hearing from people that they're listening to the shows and they're excited about the recipes we talk about. They're excited about getting to the outdoors and trying something they may not have tried before,
yeah,
which to me is one of the most exciting things about Raised in Wisco is, and I have to say, with the guests we've had on the show and having the cooking element to the show, I have been really trying new things. Whereas you don't get stuck in a rut because you get ideas. And if you're new to hunting or fishing or camping, we're constantly bringing guests onto the show who have intriguing ways to enjoy the state of Wisconsin, which is also extremely exciting, which leads me to say, if you have an idea for Raised in Wisco, go on our Facebook page, send us a message, let us know what interests you and what you want to hear about. If you have questions about us, about the show, please submit those. We will talk about them on the air. Now, George Ermert, our number one listener.
Hey, George.
He is limited to only one or two questions a week. Yeah. Otherwise, he would fill up
we
the
had to
inbox.
Cap it.
But I'll say that please join us. We love having you along. We love doing the show. And I'm really excited because we're going to start talking food, what to pair with it, how to cook it, your favorites, and some simple things that can bring field to table in an easy way. This is Raised in Dave Sella. What is it? Raised in?
Wisco.
Wisco.
Raised in Wisco.
All right. Long as you're there.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.5 WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Israelis are waiting for Hamas to release all hostages still in captivity as per the terms of the ceasefire agreement. Efrat Machikawa, the niece of a hostage already free, told a rally in Tel Aviv that she wants to thank President Trump and the U.S. for helping the agreement come together.
You have shown our nation and the world what real commitment looks like.
Today, the United Nations is bringing more humanitarian aid into Gaza, where millions of people have returned. A White House budget office filing Friday revealed that more than 4,000 federal employees revealed layoff notices as the government shutdown continues. Two sources familiar tell ABC that affected employees include top CDC employees who are responsible for responding to infectious disease outbreaks. And a spokesman for former President Biden says he's now undergoing radiation therapy and hormone treatment for prostate cancer. This is ABC News.
A showdown in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers and Cubs square off for Game 5 tonight. The winner will advance to the National League Pennant Series against the Dodgers next week. Last night, Pat Murphy telling reporters he'll likely go with a variety of pitchers from the Brewers' bullpen, including Jacob Mizorowski, Aaron Ashby, and Quinn Priester. College football homecoming today in Madison. The Wisconsin Badgers hosting the Iowa Hawkeyes. And tomorrow in Green Bay, it's the Packers against the Bengals and newly acquired quarterback Joe Flacco. Xavier McKinney on facing Flacco a second time this season when he was with the Browns.
I was actually thinking about kind of the other way around of kind of what he saw from us the very first, when he was with the Browns, what he's already kind of seen us do. So I was thinking about just kind of ways that he might try to come into this game having different players and a different scheme.
That's Packers safety Xavier McKinney with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Normally, I prefer to see movies in the theater, but we'll have to rethink that when Minecraft 2 comes out. Variety reports a Minecraft sequel is in the works after the first flick made almost $1 billion worldwide. Not sure if you remember or heard this, but there is a zombie chicken baby scene that made teenage boys do very gross things in the movie theater. You might want to sit that one out and wait for it to stream. Minecraft 2 is scheduled to hit theaters July 23rd of 2027. Variety is also reporting that Bradley Cooper is in talks to star in the prequel of the Ocean's 11 franchise. The film will be set before the first Steven Soderbergh version of Ocean's 11 in 2001. This franchise is a remake of the original Ocean's 11 from 1960 that starred Frank Sinatra and some of his Rat Pack pals. The new film is rumored to be set in 1960s Europe. Margot Robbie is already on board to play the female lead. They are really milking this ocean thing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.5 WLAK.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs around 67. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 50. Slight chance of a shower, but windy on Sunday. We'll have cloudy skies and a high near 69. Sunday night, showers and breezy, a low of 50. Low 60s on Monday. Currently, 53 degrees.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the view from across the pond for Democrats who live overseas? We're going to hear from George King IV from Democrats Abroad. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's as simple as ABC, and 1, 2, 3, Raised in Wisco's going to help you figure out the best way for you to enjoy the outdoors of the state of Wisconsin. We're heard on all civic media stations Saturdays at 11 o'clock. If you don't catch us then, you can catch us after on the podcast, raisedinwisco.com, Raised in Wisco on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Facebook. Follow our Facebook page. Megan Salazar, the sommelier pirate,
keeps up with our Facebook. Salad bar better.
Megan Salad Bar.
Sorry,
Salazar.
Jacob.
All right.
It's fine. It's fine.
I like both.
But we want to see your pictures too. So post your pictures.
Yes. Let us know when you show us what you're up to.
Hey, Grace and Wisco.
We will talk about you. And I hate to tell you, you may end up being a guest on Raised in Wisco if you contact us through the Facebook page. We talk about everything from massive. Large-scale taxidermy of Samson from the zoo.
Oh, that was awesome.
The best way to preserve your game and fish, the best way to cook your game and fish. And that brings us to the sommelier portion of tonight's show, which I'm very excited about.
You're not even a drinker and you're excited about it.
Well, I'm excited.
Well, let's talk about what a sommelier is first.
Great idea.
Sorry.
I was going to go with that.
Well, I read Noah's teleprompter.
So Noah Morris from Morris Original, our on-the-spot producer here, got a new teleprompter. Now, I will say we are completely ad-lib. So if you're wondering why we sound like such a bunch of loons, is because none of it is written down ahead of time. Megan Salazar, who's a common frequent contributor to the show, is a sommelier. And a sommelier is somebody who is actually trained in
wine. And other beverages as well, but primarily wine.
So
how to taste it, how to buy it, how to pair it,
the history of it,
everything.
The different flavors, varietals, vintages, all that stuff. And there's different levels of it. I'm just a basic one.
Give us sommelier 101 today.
Give you sommelier one. Well, that's a lot. I mean,
scale it back, girl.
We will definitely try.
Yeah.
Well, having Megan on the show today, we're going to talk about some of the pairings for wild game. And I'm going to start with red meats. I want to talk about red meats, and I wanted you to be creative and talk a little bit about alcoholic versions in the wine and alcohol and beer categories. And then we're going to talk about some possible non-alcoholic pairings. But when you talk about red meat for wild game, most folks are talking about venison, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Venison, elk.
Sure. But
pronghorn.
Yeah, venison, elk, I guess pronghorn and
bear.
Black bear is a red meat. And I think a lot of people don't realize so is duck.
Yeah.
Wild duck is not like from the store. It is a dark meat. So mm-hmm. What are your best things to pair with dark meats, Megan?
Okay, so first of all, I guess what I'd like to start with is the way I look at wine is almost like the way Ellie probably looks at salt and pepper in food. So you're either looking to enhance it like you would with your salt, or you're looking to complement it like you would with your pepper. Would you agree?
Yeah, okay, totally.
So with the red meats, typically we're going to go with red wines, but there's big difference in red wines, whether they're super acidic or they're super tanniny. Do they have a lot of floral notes to them? Do they have more of a tobacco or smokiness to them? So you want to try to find things that are going to complement and pair well with that. So with venison, primarily you're going to look at like a Cabernet. It's a very strong red wine to pair with a really strong red meat. Mm-hmm. Think about bear. When I make bear, I tend to usually pair it a lot with blueberries and fruits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It goes really well with it. I mean, you
is
think
that
about
because of what they eat?
Yeah,
they
and it's not just bear. Any game animal, I always try to think about, A, what's in season when we harvest them. That always pairs fantastic with it. Venison, turnips, corn, all of that stuff always pairs really well with venison. So when I think about what I'm pairing wild game with, I think about what they're eating, what's in harvest, and then I try to think about different wines that would pair with that also. So bear, I'd probably go more of a fruity Merlot, something more berry-ish, and it's going to really complement the flavor of that bear meat that's going to come out.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
I never thought about wine like that with food.
Yeah. So
the, the far as I can go, red meat, red wine, white meat, white wine.
That's not necessarily because you think turkey is white meat, right?
Yeah.
But wild turkey is not really white meat. It's more of a darker meat. So it has a much stronger flavor profile to it that I would probably go red over white unless I had certain sauces or sides that I wanted to pair with a white wine that I needed that acidity from instead.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
You got to remember you don't have the fat from the wild game either. So you have to look at things that are going to help enhance that instead of cut more acid into it when we have fat like we do in beef or even chicken or pork. So,
That's interesting.
Interesting.
I went really far into that.
Yeah, no,
I love that.
So Megan, if you're a listener and you have not really dabbled in wines at all, and say you have a beautiful venison roast, how do you go to the store? Where do you go? And how do you look at a wine? And I know you said a Cabernet or a Merlot, but how can someone have the best experience picking something out that they're going to enjoy for a beginner wine drinker?
You mean as far as like just deciding and choosing?
Yeah.
I read the reviews from wines all over the place. Mm-hmm. So when I'm
you
at the store.
You can look them up too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
While you're
there's
the
some
store.
Great apps that are there, or there's great apps on your phone that you can look up wines and you can get other people's tasting notes on them too, because not everything's going to taste the same to me as it does to you. We all have different flavor profiles that we like, things that we enjoy. Like I enjoy wines that, I mean, this probably sounds gross to people, but animal, leather, those barnyard smells. Like,
yeah.
I love the way a barn smells, so I like my wine to smell like that. But other people be like, "Oh, that smells like manure," but it's not.
It's like having
manure. It's just
it's like having goat milk or goat cheese,
exactly.
Something like that. If you
exactly.
like those flavors, then that would be your
route
to go.
Some people can take like stronger scents and stronger flavors, and they like those enhancements of it. And other people, they're a little more sensitive to it. So
with all these wines that you're talking about, this is probably a dumb question, but can you still?
There's no dumb questions.
So I'm drinking this wine. It pairs well. Can you cook with all these wines?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or does it have to be a particular type of wine to cook with wine?
Oh, gosh, no. Oh. Whatever you want to take the alcohol out of to enhance whatever meat you have, use that wine. I mean, a lot of times we just open a bottle, I cook with it, and whatever's left over is what we're drinking for dinner.
Or the other way around.
Or we have to open the second one. Yeah. That happens too.
I drank a whole bottle. Oh no.
It's only four glasses.
And I exactly.
This is Wisconsin.
There is kind of a revolution happening right now with non-alcoholic wines and beers. So.
Oh yeah.
There is a much more, you know, I haven't drank for 15 years, but I've tried some of these non-alcoholic wines and they really do have quite a delicious wine profile.
They taste
flavor
exactly the same.
Them.
They're using the exact same grapes that we're using for wine. So they're using Cabs, Merlots, Sauvignon Blanc, all of that stuff. And they're just taking the alcohol out of it. So you're getting all of the other stuff minus the heat from the alcohol.
That's wonderful.
That you would have from wine. Mm-hmm. Same thing with your non-alcoholic beers.
Right.
There's some fantastic stuff. Oh
my gosh.
IPAs,
yes.
Things like that. So talking about beer, most of your game meat is going to pair really well with like your German Pilsners, lagers, something really light and crisp. Mm-hmm. But bear, I would go with a stout or like an amber. Same thing with duck.
And now they've got Guinness 00 out there now. And
delicious.
The
there's an entire aisle
beers.
Of just non-alcoholic beer.
It's
now.
Really
yeah,
great
it's
to
wonderful.
See non-alcoholic beer is the fastest growing segment of beer in the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
And overseas, they're even ahead of us. They've got a lot of these on tap. And I, you know, I'm a Radler fan and I'm thinking a Black Bear. So a Radler is essentially kind of like a Shandy. You're adding a sweeter soda to it. And I add elderberry to mine, which I think would pair perfectly well with Black Bear.
Ooh,
oh,
that'd
yeah.
be delicious.
Yeah,
you know what? It would go really
notes.
Well with duck as well. Cause I think about what the ducks eat and what goes well in the fall. And so we're talking cranberry, citrus, stuff like that.
Mm. Okay. And I want to note off of that real quick. Megan, you know a lot about Wisconsin wines. There's a lot of Wisconsin wineries. People don't realize that.
Oh, there's
yes,
a
there
bunch.
Are quite a few Wisconsin wineries. Wisconsin has its own viticultural area, like designation, just like some of the other places in California, New York, and Texas. But we have our own native grapes here, too, that we don't really explore that much.
Do we?
So if you go to some of these Wisconsin wineries, a lot of them import their grapes in from other places and they're just making the wine here. But there are some that do use native Wisconsin grapes that grow really well in Wisconsin and the UP, like Frontenac.
Yeah.
Wow, that is fascinating. I absolutely love that. And there's something I want to talk about because I tell people this and they think I'm crazy. But when I eat wild game, I think wild game tastes like what it eats.
Yeah, certainly.
You shoot wild hogs in Florida, they smell and taste like citrus when you're butchering them. You know, fish, ducks that eat fish for a living have got a seafood note to them when you're eating them. The deer up here, you know, in this area, southeast Wisconsin, are much kind of a sweeter finish to them because they're eating corn and wheat. Mm-hmm. Up north, they're eating a lot of pine nuts. They've got much more of a strong, piney, almost a gin, juniper kind of taste.
Well, and that's like why we can compare just as like meat buyers from the store. There's a big difference between telling whether it's grass-fed, organic, free-range to grain-fed cows that are mass-produced.
I can certainly tell a difference.
And we don't eat a lot of store-bought meat anymore, unless we're out at a restaurant. But, I mean, how many days a week do we have wild game, Dave?
I would say about 4 to 5.
Yeah, so.
That's all I eat at home is wild game. And I do love the fact that the flavor profile of meat changes based on the season. It changes based on what the animal is eating in the wild. And for me, that's just another additional layer to the excitement of it. So talk to me about your whiter wild games, your pheasants, your chucker, your upland birds.
Rabbits.
Turkeys in the middle.
Rabbits I would put in there too. And wild boar and alligator.
Alligator's
as well.
The white meat?
Something lighter. So crisp white wine, Sauvignon Blanc. If you want something that has, you might be preparing it a little more savory, you might want to go with something stronger like a Chardonnay where it's oaked and it has more buttery to it. Your fish, you want something that has a little more acid or butter to it. So again, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Viognier. Mm-hmm. There's really great cheaper varietals out there too. And you don't have to buy an expensive bottle of wine. I mean, obviously don't be buying the $2
Don't buy $2 or so Mad Dog 2020.
That's a malt beverage, I think.
I'm not sure.
Well, can you talk about the years? Like the
Does it matter?
Does it matter?
Wine is?
If it's American produced, it really doesn't matter. And until you get into expensive wines, it really doesn't matter either. I mean, in California, the wines are very manipulated as how they're produced and sitting in the oak barrels and everything and what vintages that they're taking and mixing things together that they can kind of keep the product very stable in the years. But if you start to go into Europe where they let it be what it is, that's when it might matter. And so unless you're spending $50, $60, $70 a bottle of wine.
Because the years always get me. I hold the wine. I do not know.
Way more control over how they make wine now than they did a long time ago when that made sense. Yeah, obviously wildfires in California will affect the price and things like that. And it might affect the quality of the wine. But overall, we have a lot of control over it in the United States.
All right. Real quickly, tell me something that's a drink to drink with dark meat versus white meat that's not wine or beer.
Like
water?
A cocktail? Water?
No, there are so many mocktails out there now, like fruit juices.
You can literally make any cocktail.
Apple cider and Jack Daniels.
Yes. Or vice versa.
Ooh, yeah,
ooh, apple cider is a fantastic
apple
one.
Apple cider. Yeah.
Pheasant or pork.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
I love fresh homemade apple cider off the farm with wild turkey in the winter.
And you can make a great sauce out of it.
Made a bunch of apple cider.
We've got the recipe of the week, which I'm excited about. Chef Lawton's got that. This is Raised in Wisconsin.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking
breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers trained to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
At what point are we as a society going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This is just the latest attack on women, on trying to control our bodies. They want women to have more babies. They don't want us to have birth control. They don't want us to get abortions. They don't want us to take medications. They want us to be in pain. They don't want us to have hospitals to be able to go to. They're defunding all of our rural hospitals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
The crazy life, La Vida Loca, right here in Wisconsin. I'm raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is sitting in the co-host seat. Our renowned chef, Ellie Lawton, the chefferie of the show, and the sommelier pirate, Megan the Salad Bar Salazar.
How do you want it?
How do I have so many nicknames?
I don't know. You got more nicknames so many personalities. Than Carter's Got Pills. And Dave Sella, master of all game cameraing here, is with us. I think Megan just dragged him along because they're in love. I can't say it enough.
What the heck?
I love it.
What's going on? Danielle, here's where you do what's happening.
What is happening?
What is happening?
Oh, my gosh. Now, I don't know if I'd be lying if I didn't say that. The cooking segment of the show.
We all know it's your favorite.
Excited.
We all know
I
this.
Love eating. Food is my favorite dish. And here on Raised in Wisco, we don't just talk about what to do in the great outdoors of Wisconsin. We tell you how to enjoy it and how to take what is out there and put it on the table in a very simple way. You know, I thought of this today. Megan's a sommelier, but she really simplified how to take something to drink and complement your food. And that's what I like. We've got an actual sommelier here, a certified French chef here, but we're not getting into the weeds. These are recipes and things you can do at home that are delicious and easy.
This is easy stuff, guys.
I don't know if the recipe for tonight is easy or not, Chef Lawton.
It is so easy.
The
we're talking
intimidates me.
Venison Wellington.
Ooh.
So
it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's a British dish,
it's
is it
so
not?
So good.
I don't know.
It sounds like
Wellington.
I'm not British, so I don't know. I'm not from around there.
All right. Here. So, wait, from around them parts?
I know, around those parts. So should we talk about it?
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about
it. That's the Joel, shut up. We're getting to the food.
So very easy recipe. Megan's going to post this later on next week, probably.
It's a good thing I made one a little while ago.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be making this one again. This is on repeat all the time. Okay. Ingredients. Puff pastry. Go to the grocery store. Get some puff pastry out of the freezer. Don't make it. It's really a hassle to make. I hardly ever say that to people, but just don't make it. Danielle, you got it?
Done.
And then venison, a venison loin or a roast. You could contact Dave Sella if you need some because he's a professional deer hunter.
We're giving Dave a lot of credit.
Yeah.
He better shoot a 200 plus this year.
All right. So we are.
Oh.
Pounds, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So a puff pastry, venison. You can also use elk. You can use antelope. You can do a pork loin with this recipe. I've tried it, guys.
Ooh,
it's amazing. You could, of course, use beef. That's the traditional way to make it. And then you're going to want some portobello mushrooms, onions. I'm going to throw some spinach in mine, some garlic, and prosciutto, salt and pepper.
Oh,
mustard.
And mustard, Dijon, or stone ground. You could do either one. So here's how I make mine, okay? And I tweak mine depending on what I have in my fridge, too. I'll throw extra herbs in there, or maybe I'll do like a buttery sauce over the top. But you're going to get a pan, put some bacon grease in it. If you don't have bacon grease, make some bacon, people. Danielle's like, yeah, duh.
Danielle's with you so far. Yeah.
When you make bacon, don't throw the grease out. It is fantastic this time of year for soups and stews and chilies and venison Wellingtons, and all sorts of dishes.
And the burns.
Yes, Danielle. So you're going to get a pan, cast iron pan, heat up your bacon grease, sear that meat on all sides so it's golden brown. Don't cook it. You're just searing it, okay? Set that aside. Let it come to room temperature. Get out a piece of film, saran wrap. Lay it on your counter. Take prosciutto. You'll need about probably 4 to 6 pieces, depending on how big your meat is. And lay it on the saran wrap, okay? Because what you're going to do is you're going to place your mushroom and onion mixture that I'm going to talk about in a minute on that. Then you're going to put your meat on it, and you're going to roll it in that saran wrap, okay? Joel, you got it?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Okay. You doing okay?
I'm not doing great because I'm very hungry and it sounds delicious already.
So meat has been seared. Puff pastry has been pulled out of the freezer. It's defrosted. Prosciutto is laying on the saran wrap. And in another pan, we have diced up mushrooms and onions with
what kind
some
of
butter.
I use portobello,
but you can use whatever you have. Use a medley.
I have to go to the store and buy these.
Okay, Danielle. Well, that's okay. You can go to the store.
You can use canned mushrooms.
So you are going to cook those mushrooms and onions down. You can actually put them in a food processor to cut them all up because you kind of almost want it a little pasty. Almost.
Oh, okay.
Right, Megan?
Yeah, as fine as possible. I use a food processor.
Yeah.
I also use dehydrated morel.
Yeah, you can.
We gotta hurry up.
Oh, we got to hurry up, guys. Okay. So we're going to finish the mushrooms and onions. We're going to spread that over the prosciutto. And then you're going to take the meat that is cooled down and you're going to cover it in mustard. So Dijon mustard, stone ground mustard, both taste fantastic. Put the meat on the mushroom mixture that is on the prosciutto. Wrap it up. Let it sit. Put it in the cooler or the refrigerator if you're going to make it the next day. I like mine to sit for about a day or two. Megan, how long do you let yours sit?
An hour.
Oh, I let mine sit for like a day or two. And then you're going to pull it out, wrap it in that puff pastry, do an egg wash over the puff pastry. So you're just whipping up an egg and brushing it over, and throw it in the oven. And
how
it
long?
Is beautiful.
Oh, I am so in.
It depends on how big of a piece of meat you're going to use.
Sure.
So we'll post that on the recipe, and then you can go from there.
And you're going to want to hit it to about 135
internal
temp.
Venison, yes. Yeah. God, good job, Joel.
Thank you.
Look at you
I've been working on it. And remember, when you take it out at 130, it will continue to cook as it is resting. You want to let it rest because then you won't lose all the juice when you
then
cut
what
it.
Venison, I like
having
a good medium. If I'm doing beef, I like medium rare Wellington.
And remember, if you're cooking black bear, it's got to be cooked all the way. Oh, my God.
Wine, I'm going Pinot Noir.
Oh, Pinot Noir
goes great with the mushrooms.
What are the flavors of that?
Oh, berries and red fruit, bright.
A sweeter
bright
wine.
Yep,
oh
not a little
gosh.
Bit sweeter, but not heavy.
Love
hey
it.
Hey, folks, get out there, try these recipes. They're going to be fantastic. You're going to be surprised with yourself. because believe me, I'm surprised when I try it. It's delicious. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week on Raised in Wisco. Woo!
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Those 18 workers missing after yesterday's explosion at a factory that makes explosives in Tennessee are presumed dead, says the local sheriff, Jason Kraft, in an update. No survivors.
We were already going slow, and now we're slowing things down even more.
President Biden getting radiation and hormone therapy for his prostate cancer, says a spokesperson for the former chief executive to ABC News. Biden's office has said the type of cancer appears to be hormone sensitive. Luigi Mangione's pleaded not guilty to federal charges in the shooting death of the United Healthcare chief. His lawyers in a new court filing want one charge that makes him eligible for the death penalty dropped. A day after a huge Russian air attack targeting the electric grid in Ukraine, cutting power to over 800,000 people, Ukraine says crews have restored the power. European leaders are agreeing to go forward with hundreds of billions of frozen Russian assets to support Ukraine's war effort. This is ABC News. President Trump's